Content creators may soon need to find another place to show off their new dances as Congress moves forward on legislation that would put the future of TikTok in the United States in peril. As the FCC comes up on 1 year without auction authority, the agency is looking for creative ways to deploy all of that vacant spectrum. Hams and others who do business with the FCC need to take notice of security changes coming soon to an FCC system. All of that and more coming up.
REC, FCC Today, BG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Thursday, March 7, 2024. As reported by The Hill, today the House Energy and Commerce Committee unanimously advanced a bill that would require TikTok's China-based parent company, ByteDance, to divest itself from the app or face a ban in the United States. The Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary-Controlled Applications Act, which was introduced by Mike Gallagher, Republican from Wisconsin, and Raja Krishnamoorthy, Democrat from Illinois, received overwhelming bipartisan support. Gallagher and Krishnamoorthy are the top lawmakers on the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. On Tuesday, before the vote, Commissioner Brendan Carr came out in strong support of the legislation, stating that, quote, TikTok's own conduct makes it clear that it is beholden to the Chinese Communist Party and presents an unacceptable threat to U.S. national security. Indeed, TikTok has been caught engaging in a pattern of illicit surveillance and making false statements about personnel in Beijing accessing sensitive U.S. user data. These facts are laid bare for the world to see when the House Energy and Commerce Committee held a TikTok oversight hearing last year. And that's where there is a broad bipartisan consensus that TikTok cannot continue to operate in the U.S. in its current form. Sponsors of the legislation state that the bill does protect First Amendment rights because it regulates conduct, not content. The bill is not based on TikTok's content or any other protected speech, but instead is based on TikTok's illicit conduct, namely the concrete threat to national security that TikTok poses as evidenced by its own actions, conduct that is not protected by the First Amendment. The Hill reports that some groups such as the ACLU and the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University have criticized the new bill over free speech concerns. The White House, while not endorsing the legislation, called the bill, quote, important and welcome. As we come up on the one-year anniversary of the lapse in FCC auction authority, the agency is looking for a new way to utilize unassigned spectrum for wireless services. Over time, the FCC has had different methods of resolving mutual exclusivity for spectrum licenses. In the early days, this was done through a comparative review process in which the applicants would have to state why their request would be best compared to others from a public interest standpoint. Comparative reviews have been seen as subjective and can result in numerous appeals. For a short period of time, Congress authorized the FCC to use random selection, which in many cases resulted in a windfall for speculators. Congress would eventually pass the Balanced Budget Act of 1997, which replaced the random selection process with spectrum auctions. The commission has had a reasonable amount of available spectrum for both broadband and narrowband services, but without a means of making this spectrum available due to the lack in auction authority. This spectrum remains dormant, thus stifling innovation and the country's position as a leader in such services. The Wireless Telecommunications Bureau is accepting comments to explore different methods of making this spectrum available through methods that they still have the statutory authority to do. These methods could include dynamic spectrum sharing, which involves the use of frequency coordinators and specific equipment that would prevent interference between users. Non-exclusive site-based licensing, which would require users to coordinate their operations either between each other or through a third-party frequency coordinator. The Bureau is also looking at options that would permit the leasing of inventory spectrum. In a separate statement, FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel says the agency is now compelled to ask what they can do with the current unassigned spectrum in order to keep innovation moving ahead in a global market for wireless that is not slowing down. She remains hopeful that the FCC's auction authority will be restored quickly so that this important program is once again able to produce results for consumers and the economy. Comments in WT Docket 24-72 are due on April 8, with reply comments due April 22, 2024.
Michi Bradley,
REC. Hey, it's the Michi. Thank you for joining us on FCC Today, the podcast where we bring the Daily Digest to life. Look for this podcast on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. Please visit the channel, like the video, and hit that notification dinger to be informed of updates. FCC Today is also available through major podcast providers and on the web at fcc.today. YouTube channel subscriptions are important to us, so please subscribe. Thank you for your support. On review, the full commission upholds the joint decision of the Wireless Telecommunications Bureau and the Media Bureau in the case of Indian Peak Properties LLC in respect to over-the-air reception devices, also known as OTARDs. The OTARD rule, which was a product of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, prohibits state and local governments from invoking laws, regulations, or restrictions on the ability for homeowners and renters from installing and maintaining OTARDs, which are used for the reception of over-the-air television and radio. The rule has been clarified over the years to also include equipment for both the transmission and reception of internet services via microwave or satellite, as well as for hub and relay antennas. In May 2022, Indian Peak filed five petitions for declaratory ruling seeking preemption under the OTARD rule of a decision by the city of Rancho Palos Verdes, California, to revoke a conditional use permit for antennas on a building pursuant to the city's zoning ordinance. The petitions involved six antennas placed on the roof of a location where the roof space was being leased out to other providers. The Bureau's decision suggests that in order for the OTARD rule to apply, there must be someone who resides in the location that will actually be the end user of the service. In this case, it appears that the location was used solely for the purpose of relaying wireless signals. On review, the full commission finds that the bureaus did not err in their decisions, stating that in order for an entity to make an OTARD rule complaint related to fixed wireless services, the petitioner must demonstrate that it is regularly used to provide signals to human end users at the location where the equipment is located. This decision is very extensive, and we only have touched on a portion of it here. For full details, see the link to the decision document in the YouTube description. The Office of the Managing Director has announced that starting on May 29, 2024, an additional layer of security will be added to the FCC's Commission Registration System, or CORS. Starting on that day, users attempting to log into CORS will be met with two-factor authentication, where they will receive an email at the address associated with the CORS account, and they will be required to enter in a six-digit verification code before they can proceed into the system. The CORS system is used for the assignment and maintenance of FCC registration numbers, or FRNs, as well as for paying application and regulatory fees. The FCC recommends that CORS users confirm that they have access to their username account's email and they have a secondary email address saved in their account profile, just in case. Again, two-factor authentication will be starting in CORS on March 29. Make sure that your account is properly set up. This affects anyone who has an FRN with the FCC, including licensees in the amateur radio service. Don't get locked out. REC recommends that all users verify their account details by logging into CORS prior to March 29. And finally, The audio division is continuing to process LPFM applications from the 2023 filing window. As of Thursday, March 7, 2024, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 352 applications have been granted, 302 have been dismissed, 376 have been accepted for filing, and an additional 306 applications are either mutually exclusive or otherwise not yet accepted for filing. The audio division has completed processing applications in Delaware, Maine, South Dakota, and Utah. Keep up with the play-by-play action from the window at fcc.today, the website, and the REC window tracker tool at recnet.com/window.
FCC Today.
FCC Today, the podcast, is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. Please like the video and subscribe to the channel. It's also available on Podbean, TuneIn, Apple, iHeart, and other podcast providers. For up-to-the-minute action at the Media Bureau and throughout the agency, visit our website at fcc.today. REC Networks, always on at recnet.com for assistance. With LPFM full service and FM translators, contact REC Networks 202-621-2355. For now, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist, wishing you a good day from Riverton.
REC.